This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are y'all ready to get into the Word? Good deal. Y'all, today we're going to talk about something that we all have that a lot of people wish that they had. A lot of people wish that they had it. Let me just say something. We are so blessed to live in the United States of America. Can anybody say amen? And you may be like, well, Pastor Gene, we've got our share of problems. Yeah, well, start making a list of where else you'd like to live. You're going to find that every other country has problems too, right? We are blessed to be Americans, let me tell you. And one reason why is because our faith in Jesus, we're not going to lose our life for it living in America, right?
That's right.
But there's certain places in the world where that's not the case. There are people, because of their faith, because of believing in Jesus, they can literally lose their lives. And so we're so blessed to live in America. But a lot of people, like those people, for instance, that can't just voice their faith in Jesus, they would do anything to have the Word of God. Bibles are prohibited in some parts of the world. There's stories about how sometimes a Bible will make it into these regions and literally it will be taken apart page by page just so they can spread it out and so more people can read it. Years ago, Church Alive supported a ministry that was ultimately out of Alabama. This gentleman was in the printing business. He owned a printing company. And what he did was he would take like books of the Bible, for instance, like the Gospel of John, and he could print it really cheap, of course, because he had the equipment and everything. And he would make basically like booklets out of it, like a very simple folded over booklet of the Gospel of John. And so churches would support him, and it would be like, you know, he told me, because I went to see him one time, he said, Gene, he said, for $500, for instance, we can put 5,000 of these in the hands of people on the other side of the world. That was awesome, right? I mean, that was like money well spent. But here was what was interesting. He said, what you need to realize is, he said, we're finding that a lot of these, they're going to be read by 12 different people. Like, you know, because they're so hungry for the Word, you get it to them, and they read it, and then they're sharing it with a friend who then wants to read it, and like 12 different people would read it. So some people are so hungry for what we have, but so many of us are not really people who value the Word of God. And can we just be honest? The Word of God is everywhere around us. You go stay in a hotel tonight, there's going to be a Bible in there. You go to visit somebody in the hospital, there's going to be a Bible over there. You go to get in your car at a parking lot, you might see a Bible laying in somebody else's. I mean, it's all over the place. We have them on our phones as well. But so many believers don't value this Word. And why is that? A lot of them feel like it just doesn't apply to their life. A lot of them feel like, I don't understand it. Maybe they tried to read the Word, but it just didn't really stick. The habit of reading it on a regular basis didn't stick. Some are just too distracted. Priority-wise, it's just not really up here very much. I believe, though, that most Christians, I think probably all of us in this room who say we're followers of Jesus, I think we'd agree that we'd be better off if we read it regularly. Can anybody agree with me today, right? We all know that, right? And so today, if you're here, and if you've struggled to read the Word of God, I want you to pay attention. We're continuing our Bible study series. We started it last week, and actually just last week and today, it's going to be just a short two-weeker. What we're doing is we're looking at some practical ways that we can get into reading the Word of God on a regular basis, because we need the Word of God on the inside of us. A lot of people don't realize how much it does for us, but we need the Word of God on the inside of us. And what we're doing in these 2 weeks is we're going through the book of Philemon. And so last week we looked at five practical steps. And today we're going to wrap it up and we're going to go into a little bit more depth. So are y'all ready to go today?
Yeah.
All right, well, good deal, good deal. First statement I want to make today, just a thought, is this, is that the Bible is meant, hear me, to transform us and not just to inform us.
Yeah.
It's meant to transform us and not just meant to inform us. There are people out there that have a lot of knowledge of the Word. They can give you facts. They can tell you about the people that were involved, you know, in this part of the Bible. They can give you some figures. But if it hasn't done a work on the inside of them, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says that knowledge actually puffs up.
Yeah.
Knowledge puffs up. And we can have a knowledge of the Word of God, but if it hasn't transformed us, y'all, we're reading it for the wrong reason. Come on, somebody. We need to be bearing some fruit because of what we learn in this Word. Rick Warren said this. He said, the Bible should give us a bigger heart and not a bigger head. We shouldn't walk around like we got the big head just because we know so much of the word. It should change us on the inside, right? It should give us a bigger heart. We should look more like Jesus every day because of what we're getting out of this. And that's why we need to apply what the word of God says. In James 1:22, it says this. It says, don't just listen to God's word. You've got to do what it says. Y'all hear me? We got to do what it says. Don't just be hearers, but be doers of the word. So again, if you've struggled to read the word in the past, then I want to just really recommend you catch up with us. If you weren't here last week, catch up with us so that you're on board, because we're going to build off of last week. And then let's just do a quick review of what we looked at last week. We said whenever it comes to studying the Bible, there's five practical steps that we want to do. First of all, we want to choose a translation that we can understand. We want to have a time, a place, and a plan to study, right? We need to have a plan. We need to understand the context, because that's super important. We need to understand the context whenever we read. We all know that context is important in any situation in our life. Number four, we want to read slowly. We want to ask questions. And then number five, we want to pray for God to speak to us. And then we need to apply. Somebody say apply what he shows us. That's part of that doers of the word, right? And so hopefully this week you've found a translation that works for you. If you're using a paper Bible or if you're using a Bible app, the great news is you can find one of many translations in a paper Bible. But with the Bible app, there's a ton of them. I mentioned to y'all, and I kind of halfway recommended the NIV or the NLT. It's so much easier for most of us to understand. It's what I use on the screen a majority of the time. So hopefully you got your translation. And then after that, hopefully you've got a time and a place, and you set that this week of, okay, I'm going to study the Word of God at this time, and this is where I'm going to do it, so that you're going to have a routine. And then hopefully you came up with a plan. Somebody say a plan.
Plan.
A plan to study. It's really important that we don't just tomorrow morning be like, what am I going to do today, right? We need to have a plan. Now, we threw up a QR code last week, and we're going to do it again this week. I got to say this, the YouVersion Bible app is a great resource. It's a way to have the Word of God with you 24/7, right? No matter where you are, a lot of different translations. But if you don't have that app, really you should download it. But I want to say this, if you have the app, scan this code. And the reason is this, is because you'll connect with Church Alive, and we're going to push out a Bible reading plan every now and then. So currently we have this plan out, the Gospel of John. If you've not been in the Word much, this is a great place to start. The Gospel of John. And so with this plan, it's 25 days. It's one chapter a day. You can handle that. We can handle that, right? It's one chapter a day. So you'll go through the Gospel of John, then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are all real shorties. And so technically, you'll cover four books of the Bible in 25 days. That's a good way to get started into the Word of God, right? And so I want to encourage you to scan that code if you haven't yet. Maybe you're wondering, Pastor Gene, but what's the best plan? What's the best plan? Well, here's the best plan. It's one that is regular for you, that works for your schedule, that works for your life. It doesn't have to be a specific amount of time, because y'all, life happens a lot of times, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't have as much time as we would like. Sometimes you may have 30 minutes to be in the Word. Sometimes you may have five. And so what you need to do is not focus on the specific amount of time. The worst plan, though, is to not have a plan. That's a terrible one. Don't try to just freestyle it. Just have a plan and then just slowly work through it. Now, some options for reading the Word or for studying the Word is you can start with studying a book of the Bible. For instance, if you want to go back to the beginning, if you want to know more about God and want to know more about the beginning, Genesis and Exodus, they're the ideal places to go. If you want to know more about the person of Jesus Christ, well, then of course you want to go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I would suggest, again, starting with John first. If you feel like you need some practical insight whenever it comes to, like, dealing with everyday life, dealing with people, dealing with money, James and Proverbs, those are some great books to go to. If you want to go deeper, like, for instance, in your knowledge on topics of sin and forgiveness and repentance, Romans is the place for you. My word, I love Romans. If I could only preach out of one book of the Bible, it would be Romans. It's so good. It's so good. Maybe you want to study a person in the Bible. Last year, towards the end of the year, we studied Joseph. Y'all remember our Joseph series, right? That's a great person to study in the Word. There's Esther, powerful woman that was used in the Bible, right? You could study her. Has anybody ever felt like a goof up before? Anybody ever felt that? Okay, just about four of us. Peter. Peter is a good person to study because Peter definitely goofed up, but then the Lord used him in a mighty way, did he not? So there's a lot of different people that you can study, or you could study a topic in the Word, like on grace or joy, or maybe you want to just study like fear. Maybe that's something you're dealing with, or temptation. Those are topics that you can get into and study. Of course, there's daily devotionals. There's tons of those in bookstores or online. And then the Bible app, which I've mentioned multiple times. Y'all, they have over 50,000 plans that you can read, and there's some really good resources there for you. And they're on various topics, books of the Bible, people of the Bible. And so I would encourage you to definitely check that out. Maybe you say, Pastor Gene, but I'm ready to go all in and read the whole Bible. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. I like to do that. But I got to say this, it may not be the best thing for you to jump into if this is like you just easing into the Word. I'm just going to be honest with you. But reading the whole Word of God is great. Whatever you do, I need y'all to promise me one thing. If you've not read the Word of God, please don't start in Revelation. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to call me and you're going to say, I don't understand this. And then I'm going to say, I don't either. So do not start in the book of Revelation. Can y'all promise me that, all right? Just don't do it. Again, I think John would be a great plan for you guys to jump into. But you want to have a good plan, and here's some good news for you. If it's not working, what you get into, or maybe you're in a plan right now. If it's not working, it's okay to stop and to start something else, right? You don't want to dread getting in the Word every day. All right, so we've got our translation. We've got our time, we've got our place, we've got a plan, right? And so what I want to do is I want us to go back to Philemon and study it like we did last week. Now, a quick pop quiz for you. Last week I mentioned before you read a book of the Bible or some scripture in the Bible, you need to understand the
context.
You need to understand the context, right? Good job. Good job. And to understand the context, there's a few questions that we want to ask. For instance, who wrote what we're reading? To whom was it written? And then what was the purpose of it? And so let's talk about the book of Philemon. Philemon's in the New Testament. It's short. It's only 25 verses total. But Philemon himself was ultimately a successful business owner. He also had a home church. Paul led him to the Lord, so he was a spiritual son of the Apostle Paul. Paul is writing this letter to Philemon, and the reason he's writing this letter to Philemon is Philemon had a slave, and we got to stop right there just for a second and talk about the fact that slavery is wrong, has always been wrong. Can we all say amen to that? Amen? It's definitely wrong. In this time in history, 2,000 years ago, there were 10 to 15 million slaves in the Roman Empire alone. It was a normal thing. So ultimately, Philemon has a slave named Onesimus who steals from him and runs away. And so whenever he ran away, he ended up in Rome where Paul was. They meet up. Paul leads him to the Lord. So Onesimus becomes a son in the faith to the Apostle Paul. Paul ultimately is telling Onesimus, you need to go back to Philemon. Onesimus is probably like, I don't believe I need to, because if he goes back to him, there could be severe consequences. And so Paul is writing this letter to Philemon, and he's basically saying, Philemon, you need to forgive Onesimus. Don't see him as a runaway slave, but you need to see him as a brother in the Lord. So that's our context. Y'all understand it? And so now that we have our context, I think it's only right that we read the entire book of Philemon just because I want us to cover all of it. Let's start in verse 1 today. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Those two, by the way, Apphia was said to be Philemon's wife, Archippus, possibly an elder in the church. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you and answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's good stuff right there, amen? That's really good stuff right there. Now, in this kind of third step of our five steps that we're looking at, we want to read slowly and we want to ask questions. Actually, that's our fourth step. In this fourth step, we want to read slowly and ask questions whenever we're reading the Word of God. And then, of course, we want the Lord to speak to us. Last week, we kind of covered the first half of Philemon, but this week, I want us to look more at some of the scriptures in the second half. So, for instance, verse 12 says this, Paul saying, I am sending him, or Onesimus, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. So again, we want to read slowly and ask questions. So, you know, for instance, we just looked at this verse right here. Whenever you read this verse, did anything really stick out to you? Did you kind of get a punch in the gut, anything like that? It's okay to say no. It's okay to say, not really. Me, not necessarily. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep reading, right? We're going to keep reading. So verse 15 says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So this verse right here, did anything really stick out to anybody? I think there is some good stuff about the fact that, listen, he left one way, but basically he's coming back to you, but now he's a dear brother. I think that's awesome. But let's keep going to verse 18. Paul says this, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Charge it to me. I don't know about y'all, but whenever I read that, charge it to me, it reminds me of something that Jesus told in a story one time. Let's think about this. Jesus tells this story one time of a guy who was beaten up and basically left for dead on the side of the road. Y'all remember this? And then a Samaritan comes by. And a lot of people pass this guy, but then this Samaritan takes this guy, he fixes him up, he takes him to a hotel, and he leaves the innkeeper some money. He said, here, this is for him, take care of him. And then he said this, he said, and if there's any other expenses, charge it to me. That made me think of that right there, right? Charge it to me. That's what Jesus said in that story. Verse 19 then says this, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. I will pay it back. Paul said he'd pay a debt, one that he necessarily didn't owe. Does that sound like anything that somebody else in the Bible may have ever done, paid a debt that they didn't owe? Can somebody maybe mention who that would be? Jesus. Jesus, that's what he did. You see what we're pulling out of Scripture here. As we read the Bible, something I want us to think about this morning is the Bible is not about us. Hear me. It was not written about us, okay? What it's about is God's love for the world and redemption through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. But it's written to us, right? It's written to you and it's written to me. And I think whenever we're reading the word, it's perfectly fine for us to kind of put ourselves into what we're reading. And what do you mean by that, Pastor Gene? Well, in this chapter of Philemon, we've got three main people. And so which person would you say you relate to the most in here? Let's put ourselves into this that we're reading today. Which person do you relate yourself to in what we've read today? And here's what's great. Whenever you do that based on a season of life that you're in, based on where you are in your walk with the Lord, you might read this next year, the year after, and you're somebody completely different. You feel like you're relating to someone different in the story. But let's say maybe first of all, you say, I feel like I relate to Paul in the story because Paul was taking a risk on someone. Let's think about that just for a minute. Have any of y'all ever had somebody in your life that you were really investing a lot of time into? Maybe they were just kind of down and out. Maybe you had the privilege of leading them to the Lord, or you've just been able to really minister to them, and they just have been somebody that's just been close to you, and you've just been investing a lot of time in somebody. Y'all ever been there before? Okay, good, good, good. People used to say this about my mom. If you knew my mom, then you're going to nod your head. Ann Amoson always pulled for the underdog. She always pulled for the underdog. I remember people saying, you know, Ann Amoson notices the people that nobody else notice. And so maybe you've had somebody like that, like you have just really been pouring into somebody, but you also know that you're giving your time and stuff. And how many of you know there's times where we invest in people, our time, and then maybe they just disappear, right? That happens. And so Paul, he may have been taking a risk on someone here. Maybe you feel like Onesimus and you feel like you need forgiveness. Because maybe there's been some struggles in your life that you've dealt with, some mess ups in your life. You've lied, you've fallen into sin, you've made some bad decisions. And what just keeps going through your mind is, I need forgiveness. I just need forgiveness. And you feel like you've done too much to be forgiven. Let's pause there just for a minute and let's go down a little road for a minute. If you've ever like got a word that's just laying on your heart, like I just need forgiveness. You have this really handy tool in the back of your Bible. It's called a concordance. Some of you might not be familiar with it, but it's in the very back of your Bible. And you can look up words like forgive or forgiveness, or there's tons of words back here. And what it'll do is it'll show you all the verses where that word is used in the Bible. Now, I love 1 John 1:9. And if you just wanted to just read some great verses about forgiveness, if that's something you feel like you need, this would be a great, easy way to do that. But like 1 John, for instance, chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us. Hear me. He will. Somebody say he will. He will forgive us. Those are covenant words from the Lord right there. He will forgive us of our sins, and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. Y'all, that is great news, is it not? And so if you feel like there's just like maybe a word like that that just keeps going through your head, look, you can research it out by simply going to your concordance like that. So if you feel like Onesimus, this could be the moment where, you know what, you found 1 John 1:9, and then you just ask the Lord, because you see right here, it says, if you confess your sin, he will forgive you. And you say, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I've done this, whatever. And then you know that he's forgiven you at that moment because his word is true. Amen? And hear me, you can be whole, you can be forgiven whenever you confess your sins. Not because we deserve it, but because somebody paid our debt, right? Paid our debt. Maybe you relate more to Philemon right now. Philemon, who's being called to forgive. Someone maybe betrayed you. Someone maybe hurt you. Someone maybe talked about you. And as a Christian, you know you're supposed to forgive them, but your flesh is saying, I don't want to forgive them. Anybody ever been there before, right? Yeah, some of you, you might be walking through something like that right now, and you're reading this book, and you remember the context of the book of Philemon. You remember what took place with Philemon, the fact that he had this guy, Onesimus, who technically was a slave, and Onesimus stole from him, and Onesimus ran away. And so Onesimus is going to come back to him with a letter from Paul. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, I remember the context. And as I mentioned it last week, technically whenever a slave ran away and they ended up catching him, normally they would brand an F on his forehand, which stood for fugitive. And they technically could kill him to send a signal to others like, you don't want to run away, right? Technically, Philemon could have done that. And so maybe you're reading this and you're thinking to yourself, I kind of relate to Philemon, but you also remember that Paul was saying, hey, Philemon, with Onesimus, don't treat him like he was a slave that ran away. You see, something on the inside of Onesimus changed just like it changed on the inside of you, and you need to treat him like a brother and not a runaway slave, right? And so you're thinking to yourself, okay, so maybe it's time for me to forgive somebody just like Philemon did. But something that's great, let's talk about forgiveness again. I talked about how in this kind of Bible, a paper Bible, you can use your concordance. But let's just say you're using the Bible app. You can also look up forgiveness on the Bible app, and it's going to look just like that. You see that little discover button at the bottom? If you hit that, you can just simply put in forgiveness. I did this on my phone yesterday. You know, you can look at these scriptures right here. You see 1 John 1:9 right there, but also Ephesians 4:32. If you were to scroll up on your phone, you're going to see that. It says, be kind and compassionate to forgive one another, forgiving each other, just as God forgave you. And so you're thinking, man, I really relate to Philemon. I feel like the Lord's forgiven me, and so it's time for me to forgive that person. So who do you relate to in this story? So we've just read through Philemon, and maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe he's telling you, listen, you need to take a risk on this person. You need to sow into this person's life. Maybe he's telling you that you need to be forgiven and that he wants to forgive you. Maybe you feel like Onesimus. Or maybe there's going to be a time where the Lord's saying, hey, you need to forgive in the same way that Philemon forgave. But God wants to speak to every one of us through his word. So here's a question. What's God showing you today based on what we've read, based on what we've been talking about in the last few minutes? Hopefully he showed you something. Maybe in thinking about these three people, maybe you can make yourself kind of fit with one of the people that we've read about today. But here's the good news. He wants to speak to you every time you open this word. He wants to. And that's why I think it's really important, hear me, whenever you get in the word of God, that you don't get into a big rush. That's why it's really important. I don't think that you bite off more than you can chew just so it's like, well, I got this done, because you're going to be rushed. Take your time, read it, ask some questions, and then ask the Lord to speak to you through what you're studying. Amen? And as a reminder, y'all, what the Bible's supposed to do is to transform us and not just to inform us. It needs to change us on the inside. And if we're just rushing through it, we're really not going to see much of a change on the inside. I will say this, though. If you commit to getting in the Word regularly, he's going to speak to you. He's going to love you. He's going to guide you. He's going to forgive you, y'all. He's going to empower you. And then here's some really good news. He's going to conform you into the image of Jesus, right? He's going to conform you into the image of Jesus, and you're going to look more and more and more like Jesus every day. And that's ultimately the goal. Romans 8 says that. That's the way we were predestined, to look like Jesus, y'all. That's what Romans tells us. And so by now, we've read the entire book of Philemon together today, right? Everybody knows the context, right? Yes. So are you guys, y'all are experts on the book of Philemon. But I want you to know, you could dig a little more if you really wanted to. Like we read it, we know the context, we pulled some Easter eggs kind of, you know, out of it, and just some thoughts out of it. But if we wanted to, we could dig a little bit more. And let me just tell you about something you could discover. If you fast forward 50 years, what you're going to find is you're going to find something that's not in the Bible, but it was something that was talking about the Bible. Let's talk about this just for a minute. 50 years later, there's this guy by the name of Ignatius. Ignatius was a famous martyr, and he was the bishop of Antioch, okay? He's the Bishop of Antioch. Now, it's believed that Ignatius was actually discipled by John. And Ignatius wrote multiple letters that were all pretty heavy duty. I mean, just some letters that are just very popular that scholars will refer to from time to time. One of those letters, though, was written to the churches in Ephesus. And here's what he tells them. He says, "Y'all have the most amazing bishop." He said, "Your bishop just loves people like nobody else can love people." And he just goes on to just talk about how great the bishop is at these churches there in Ephesus. Does anybody want to guess what the bishop's name was? Any guess? Anybody? Onesimus. That's good, y'all. Good. That was a good guess, babe. You win. His name was Onesimus. The guy's name was Onesimus. Now, we can't be 100% sure, but scholars will tell you that the time period works. Scholars will tell you, based on the region, it works. Scholars will tell you that based on age, it works. The spelling, the pronunciation, everything about the name works, that we think that that probably was the same Onesimus. Here's the thing. He was a runaway slave. But because of Paul speaking into his life, hear me, because of Paul writing this letter to Philemon, he went from being a runaway slave, y'all, to a bishop, Bishop Onesimus. Isn't that pretty incredible right there? Amen? That's just what God can do in our lives. He's so good. So Paul led him to the Lord. Paul stuck his neck out for him. You've got Onesimus who receives the Lord. He goes back to Philemon. I think it's awesome that Philemon forgot Onesimus' past, right? He could have treated him one way, but no. He treated him like a brother in the Lord, even though he had actually technically done something wrong. And as a result, there's Bishop Onesimus who's leading a group of churches. I think that's incredible. What about y'all? It's incredible, I think. So let's talk about the Word of God and what it'll do in your life. I want you to know this. If you're here today and you're hurting, I want you to know the Word of God. The Word of God's going to give you hope today. If you're lost, the Word of God will direct your steps today. If you're doubting, the Word of God will build your faith today. If you're anxious, it's the Word of God that's going to tell you to cast your cares on the Lord. Because hear me, the Lord wants you to cast those on him so that he can take them. Amen. He cares for you, and the Word will show you that. Y'all, I love the Word of God so much. We're so blessed to have this. It's literally God's love letter to us. And the more you read it, the more you realize how incredible he is, the more you understand how much he loves you, the more you understand how much you mean to him. And my desire is just that all of us, that we just fall in love with the Word and the author of it. There's so many people in the world who would risk their lives literally to get their hands on one of those. And we have them. You got one on your phone. You probably got one of these somewhere in your house. We have them available to us, but too many of us do not take advantage of it and do not open it up whenever it's literally life transforming. It'll change our life. Again, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, if you're not reading the Word of God, have a time, have a place, and have a plan tomorrow to get into the Word of God. You're going to see it benefit your life in so many different ways. I promise you. It's not just going to affect you. I want you to know it'll affect your home. Come on, somebody. It'll affect your home. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect how you treat people. It'll affect your children. Whenever you're in the Word, it's just going to start to overflow, and it's going to affect others in your lives. We need to be in the Word. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to throw that code up again. If you've not been in the Word, we've got a great plan for you to hop into. We'd love for you to start there if you've not been in the Word. Maybe you've got a plan that's working for you. Keep doing it. Keep doing it if it's working for you. We're not asking you to reset anything. But this is a great place for you to start. What's great about this plan is it's 25 days, y'all. They say it takes roughly 3 to 4 weeks for a habit to really start to stick. You know, I think if you go through this at one chapter a day, you're forming a really good habit, and then you can jump right to another plan after this. And I think you're really going to be encouraged by it, and you're going to see a difference in your life. Again, it'll change our attitude, our behavior, it'll change our home.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.